Our next subdivision is, or our next public hearing is subdivision 2005-35 MLK Partners.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, dividing 44.87 acres into 46 lots located south of Route 488, 960 feet west of U.S. Route 13. This application was reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, and I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has any additional comments.
Mr. Chairman, we received two faxes. One of them was received yesterday. It's addressed to whom it may concern on April 2004. There was a letter sent to Martin Oakles stating that he had permission to use the dirt lien accessing his property for 2 years or until the land was sold. Attaches the receipt saying that he signed and received that letter, and attach to that a copy of a certified letter. I'll pass that down. And we also received a copy of the title insurance, and I'll pass that down for your review. That's all we received.
All right, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone here?
Sorry. Yeah. The engineer submitted plans addressing the comments of the TAC committee.
Okay.
I'll pass those down for your review, and they were received February the 3rd.
Okay. Now, is there anyone here with representing this application?
Good evening. For the record, my name is Shannon Carmine of the law firm of Sergovic & Ellis. I represent the applicant, MLK Partners, LLC. We propose a subdivision consisting of a gross area of approximately 43.29 acres to be developed into 36 lots in Broad Creek 100, located south of Road 488, 960 feet west of Route 13 and south of Blades. I'd like to note that the original application sought a development of 46 lots. However, the site plan has been revised, and the number of lots has been reduced from 46 lots to 36 lots as a result of the soil analysis, and will be reflected by the site plan, which will be presented by the engineer, John Murray, of Kircher Engineering. The property is located in an AR1 district, and under the future land use map of the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan Update, 2002, appears to lie in a low-density district. The property currently has an abandoned house located on it and two deteriorated and collapsed chicken houses, the removal of which would be a great improvement to the neighborhood. The surrounding area consists of mixed uses, both residential and agricultural. The site plan provides for a 30-foot buffer around the perimeter of the proposed project, which is adjacent to farmland. It also provides for a minimum of 3/4 acre lot size for single-family detached homes. The property will be served by on-site wells and on-site septic systems. It is consistent with the comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan identifies that a purpose of the low-density district is to allow for low-density single-family residential development, together with such churches, commercial recreation facilities, and accessory uses as may be necessary and are normally compatible with residential surroundings. The comprehensive plan also provides that the housing types appropriate for the low-density district are generally limited to single-family detached homes and manufactured homes. This project will be for single-family detached homes only, not manufactured homes. Also, under the comprehensive plan, the guidelines for density are 3/4 acre minimum lot size for single-family detached homes using on-site wells and on-site septic systems, which this project meets the criteria of the comprehensive plan and meets the density requirements with 0.83 units per acre. The proposed project is also consistent with the zoning ordinance of Sussex County, which permits single-family lot development in the AR1 district. It meets the purpose of Section 115-119, as the AR1 district is also intended to provide for low-density single-family development, which purpose is also very similar to that found in the comprehensive land use plan for areas that are already designated low-density. It also meets the height bulk requirements of Section 115-25, which requires 3/4-acre minimum lots if not connected to a central sewer system as defined by Section 115-94A. The proposed project complies with the comprehensive plan and is consistent with the Sussex County Subdivision Ordinance. It is in character with neighboring uses. There will be no adverse impact or effect on traffic. Utility companies such as Delmarva Power, Comcast, and Verizon have even noted that they are able to service this development. We also believe that this project will effectively meet the demands for affordable housing in the area, which we all know that is very rare today, and will greatly enhance the surrounding neighborhood. John Mary of Kircher Engineering will further address the aspects of the subdivision. This should give you a broad overview of the application. And if you have no questions of me at this time, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Mr. Murray.
Great, proceed. And Mr. Murray, before you start, I know there are some folks here that have an interest in this project, and there's a couple extra copies of what's on the board and what's in front of us if any of you want to see this. Mrs. Oakles, you might want that to them so they can, because it's hard to see, even if you're sitting up front, it'd be hard for you to see it. All right, go right ahead.
Surely. My name is John Murray. I'm a project manager with Kircher Engineering.
Back there. Go ahead.
Sorry. Here this evening representing MLK Partners to discuss the extent of the site plan. As Shane stated, we did submit this project to the Planning and Zoning Commission and did receive technical advisory committee comments. The primary comment that affected the original development was the fact that on the original plan, we did not provide for the 30-foot landscape buffers adjacent to lands currently being used for agricultural use. So in light of that, we've actually added the landscape buffers on those areas where the property lines are contiguous with the lands of Martin L. Ockles, WYWJ Ventures, and Burton T. and Sue Ockles. The original plan, as stated, we did have 46 lots on the previous plan that we had submitted to the Planning and Zoning Commission. In light of the non-binding feasibility letter that we obtained from Denerec, the soils would not support the number of units which were planned for the development. Being as it may, it also changed a few of the lots that are adjacent to where the designated stormwater management and open space is, namely lots 26, 27, 35, and 36 have an atypical shape, namely in order to be able to provide those homes that may be placed on those properties with an adequate location for a septic system. Unfortunately, the soils were not suitable for the septic systems, but it actually becomes a plus for the development in the way of the stormwater management, in that the groundwater elevation in that location where we're showing the stormwater management is relatively shallow, which will provide the applicant with the ability to provide the parcel with a nice aesthetic wet pond, which could be landscaped, maintained by an environmental company, something to add an amenity to that community. The entrance, as is shown on the plan, the property initially was actually had dual frontage on Ockles Road and also on 13A. There were two lots that were, subject of a minor subdivision and were subdivided off this property, built separately. That was out of basically discussions with DelDOT during the preliminary submission process and meeting with the site with Jamez Norwood of the South District and John Fiore of the Dover office. It was explained to us that because the property did have dual frontage both on Ockles and on 13A, that an entrance on 13A would not be permitted, namely because the amount of traffic traveling on 13A is higher than the number of traffic that is traveling on Ockles Road. We were also informed that due to the nature of the curvature of Ockles Road, where the entrance is proposed, that if preliminary approval is granted and we were to move forward and design an entrance plan and submit it to DelDOT, we would be required to provide a site distance analysis for that entrance as part of the application for the entrance plan, so that they can review that and deem that the entrance as it would be designed would be safe for anyone who would be either ingressing or egressing from the development or anyone who may be traveling along Ockles Road and may not be entering the development. The roads as shown are standard 50-foot wide right-of-ways. Private streets are planned with the standard Sussex County cross section, 20-foot wide paved section. As was referenced earlier this evening on other applications, roadside swales are proposed to limit the amount of paved surfaces on the site, and also to decrease somewhat the cost of the infrastructure on site, knowing that our clients are really looking to push this development in the affordable housing market to be able to have some families who may not be able to have an opportunity to purchase a home and some of the, I guess, more upscale subdivisions in, closer, say, to the coast. That's about all that I have in the way of the technical information on the plan. I guess if she should have any other questions, I'll definitely be here to answer any questions you may have.
All right, sir. Thank you. We'll allow you to close or proceed,
I'd like to
whatever you're doing.
One last thing to address, because I'm sure you'll have questions about this. I'd like to address the dirt road that's currently located on the property. I don't know if you can see it on that site plan or not.
No,
you can't.
The reference as an easement, and that was a question I was going to ask.
Yes. The property was formerly owned by Barry and Russell Neal. On April 5th, 2005, the Neals gave the Ockels permission to use the dirt drive. Permission was limited for a period of 2 years or until the property was sold, which I believe Mr. Neal submitted a letter to the commission to that effect. There's no easement of record for the dirt road. The Ockels have alternate access to their property. Although the dirt road was created about 12 or 13 years ago, it was used with permission. Therefore, it would preclude any claims of prescriptive use. Applicants purchased the property on July 12, 2005, at which point in time that would have extinguished any permission given to the Ockels to use that drive. We've also included in the file excerpts of the title insurance policy for the applicant's property, which provides that there are no public easements or no easements of public record other than those for utility companies. So technically, there is no legal easement of record for that for use of that dirt road.
That's just the question I had about it. It shows up on there. There's two notes about it, and then the lane does show up there. So
yes, it's not of record.
All right, ma'am. Thank you. If you would take a seat for a second, and we'll see if anyone has any questions for you. This happens to be in my neighborhood, so I'm going to ask my Mr. Gordy if you would start off, please.
You're stating that you're proposing affordable housing. What price range are you talking about?
I think on that I would ask one of the partners of MLK Partners to come up and discuss that with you.
Good evening, Richard Mejeda, 7404 Gum Branch Road, Seaford. Define affordable. $200 to around $235 with the two-car garage, 1,300 square feet, the 1,400 square feet.
Stick-built, everything will be still built?
Yes, sir.
Mounted or what?
All stick-built.
Now, is it a land home package or will you sell a lot? And
right now we're going to try and keep land home packages.
So you'll have a say on what goes up there?
Yes, sir.
That's all I have there. Engineer, your entrance.
Don't go away, sir. You might, don't go away,
you
sir.
You might have sat right there.
Yeah. might need you again.
All right. Your entrance. Is there room for a school bus stop?
Well, being with the amount of open space that we've left adjacent to where the entrance would be placed, that's something that I haven't discussed yet with clients, but I don't think that they would be objectionable to providing a covered shelter there for a school bus stop. It's an area right now on the rendering we're just simply showing as landscaped.
The school bus won't go in there, I'm sure. But you do have
There would be adequate space there adjacent to the entrance to place that.
Okay. And your stormwater management, Paul, you don't know right now how big it's going to have to be.
We haven't run exact stormwater management calculations yet. We have run preliminary calculations to get an idea. It would actually have to be about two-thirds of the size of the pond that's shown now, based on the depth of the seasonal high water table. And that's simply to get the storage volume we need in order to meet Deneric and the Conservation District's criteria for stormwater discharging. But the rest of that space would be open and not a portion of any lot. So,
it
would be usable open
space. Be usable for walking trail or something through there or whatever?
Right.
That's all the question I have.
All right, sir. Mr. Smith. How would someone get to that stormwater management open space area to either maintain it, as you mentioned, a company like EnviroTech, or for someone to utilize that open space?
Well, there's two options that we would have. One would be either creating an access easement between lots 35 and 36 to access that area, with more likely some type of covered path, more than likely a natural covered path to get back there for access. We would more than likely adhere to what the Conservation District typically requires us to provide for maintenance of a stormwater management area, which is 20 feet. Deneric and Conservation District typically ask for that. So there is we could either do it that way, or there is the option of lot 36 was actually using a good amount of the area that was suitable for septic disposal system or a sanitary disposal system. So we would actually have the ability to reduce it somewhat just on the side, so that maybe an easement would not be required, but it would be an open area, not a portion of any lot, so that there could be free access to that area.
And the sort of a teardrop there between lots 8 and 9, is that used as a traffic slowing or control measure?
No, actually, based on the ordinance, if the roadway is longer than 1,000 feet from the closest intersection, then the applicant would be required to apply for a variance on the maximum road length. So we've actually placed that in there to create an intersection so that emergency vehicles, be it a pumper truck or so forth, would access the site, would have a spot where they wouldn't have to go quite so far from where sandstone court is to the end in order to turn around to maneuver their equipment.
That's all, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Burton.
So you, just in to understand that little notch, you would not need the variance? Is that what that does?
Well, the Office of the State Fire Marshal considers that configuration to be an intersection, be it the way that it's designed. It's actually designed as like a half cul-de-sac rather than a full cul-de-sac. It meets the same pavement criteria as the roadways, the same radius applies as it would with a standard cul-de-sac, but it simply creates a location for them that they can turn their equipment around, but it would meet that criteria as creating an intersection for them to be able to maneuver.
Okay, no further.
All right, sir. Mr. Lang.
No question.
Mr. Robertson.
Yeah, I have another quick question. It shows on the survey, but not on the drawing, I guess, there's remaining lands. What are those going to be used for? It's over on 13A.
Those were the portion of an area where there was a minor subdivision performed. Is actually, as what I understand, is actually recorded now. The plan was done some time ago, so I guess essentially the verbiage on that.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the ones on the right of that.
Right, it's you're talking about to the west of lots 13 and 14, correct?
Right, okay.
Yeah, those are not a portion of the subdivision. Those have already been subdivided and recorded.
Okay, that answers that question. The other thing is, for the benefit of the commission, there was a set of proposed restrictive covenants that was submitted a couple days ago, anyway, before the 72-hour rule to my office, and I think the staff has it too, and I did take a look at those, and they look to be in order, you know, with everything that we look for in the proposed restrictions. So I just wanted to clarify that one point.
All right, sir. Thank you. All right, I think if that concludes your presentation, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application.
Mr. Wheatley, I actually do have one question. I didn't hear a mention at the introduction of the project that there was a non-binding feasibility letter received from Deneric. Was a copy received by the planning and zoning?
We don't have a copy.
No, I didn't know if this extra copy. If
sure, hand it up.
Okay.
Fine.
That's all that I have.
All right, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-35 MLK Partners. Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition to subdivision 2005-35?
Good evening, gentlemen. Sue Oakles, 8872 Oakles Drive. My husband, Burton, and I live on Road 488 and own adjoining property that is on the southwest side of Road 488. While I think you'll notice a lot of landowners here with me this evening, that we all agree with MLK Partners that it would beautify our neighborhood if we did tear down the old farmhouse and if the two collapsed chicken houses left. Our neighborhood would be very nice. Where we don't agree with them is that to replace them with 36 homes. The first thing I'd like to address this evening is, since we are looking at the picture of what the subdivision would look like, is the entrance. I live about maybe 50 to 100 feet from the entrance. That entrance is on a very sharp curve. And I've done a little investigating, and I found that through DelDOT, and my information is from DelDOT, that the average daily traffic on that road, 488, is 1,195 cars currently. Now, Road 488 is an access road from Alternate 13 to Route 13. We have a lot of through traffic. It is a very busy road. We have a lot of heavy vehicle traffic. There are farm machineries that's on that truck road daily. There are dump trucks that are on that road daily. There are tractor trailers that are going to the Purdue Agri Recycle daily. There are trucks up and down that road. Plus, as I said, there are cars going through to Alternate 13 or 13. You will find, if you look through DelDOT, that you won't find many reported accidents on that curve. That's because they're unreported. And those of us who live on that road can tell you, because we pull them out, they have ruined bushes in my yard. There's a spot in my yard right now with grass that there's a car that's been there. About a week ago on that curve, there was a car in the ditch. We probably have traffic accidents. I don't want to exaggerate or make myself sound like I'm too low, but I wouldn't say it would be unrealistic to tell you that we have an accident on that road once a month, once every 2 months, especially when we've had a very dry season and we get a little bit of rain and it gets really slick. You'll have them turn completely around. They might not go in the ditch or they might not go in a yard, but they've made the curve. You'll see, if you do check with DelDOT, that there have been some accidents reported, and I don't think there have been any injury, but, you know, I can't imagine letting my child stand there on that curve waiting for a bus. Also, it's also brought to my attention that the state will be repaving Road 488 with a hot mix, which then, if you're going to have increased traffic on there, that's going to be a slick road, and we're going to have more accidents. The Route 13 intersection is very congested as it is, just to get out on Route 13. If you go to the opposite end of Road 488, which will take you to Alternate 13, DelDOT has installed rumble strips going up to that intersection, which makes me believe, and those of us who live on it, that they're concerned about an accident coming out onto Alternate 13. So, with that little bit of information, we are very concerned about that. The 36 homes doesn't mean it's just going to be 36 cars. You yourself know that a four-family home could have four cars and maybe more. So we are concerned about that. Our biggest concern is that surrounding the property on three sides are three of the four sides of the property are three working poultry farms. As poultry farmers, our concerns are, A, biosecurity. I know you all have seen it on TV. I know you see it in the paper. We are concerned about biosecurity on our property. It's our livelihood. B, we all have bird movement. And if you're not familiar with bird movement, you know that they come in and the poultry pump companies come in and take our chickens out. Those three farms all are on different schedules. So every 6 to 8 to 9 weeks, those poultry companies are coming in to our farms, taking chickens out. They don't come in at 10 o'clock in the morning. They come in at midnight. So from midnight till, and I'm going to tell you 8 a.m., it could go as long as 12 o'clock in the afternoon. There will be constant noise from our farms, tractor trailers coming in and out of our farms with loaded trucks, forklifts riding up and down, in and out, and people moving all around our property. And that will happen. They don't come in any earlier than midnight, because that's when the crews start. They'll come in at midnight, so whoever is bordering up to my property, which will be number 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and maybe 1 and 2, and 32, and 30, and 31, and 20, and 19, and 18, and 17, they're going to hear that all night long. We're also very concerned that our daily activities are going to change. We're going to have noise. There's going to be odor. You all live in Sussex County, you know.
That's another kind of bird.
Yes, exactly. And we have general maintenance of our farm equipment. And there are farm equipment up and down our road all the time. Right across from me, and it would be, let me get my bearings straight, on the north side of Road 48 is a working dairy farm. They have daily movement of farm equipment, daily. And you're going to know what one of those pieces of machinery is, a manure spreader. So I don't think those folks are going to like coming out on Road 488 and running their cars up and down that road. But we are mainly concerned about how it's going to change our lifestyle as property owners. We all, and as any of you know where we live, it is south of Blades, and my husband's family has owned that property for many, many years. And at one time, we were way out of town. We're no longer out of town. Growth is creeping in on us. And we're realists. We know that. But we don't like it. And we would like to keep a little bit of our lifestyle because of it. One of the things that we're concerned about is, as farmers, we are required, and we have complied, to have nutrient management plans. And also, we have to comply to keep continuing education for those nutrient management plans. And we're concerned about runoff and drainage. We have to watch what we do. We have to worry, you know, all the time about where we are and what we're doing. It has been proven, and I know this for a fact, that homeowners use 10 times more pesticides and herbicides than farmers. They're not licensed and they're not regulated. And we're worried about what long-term effects that's going to have on our property that we're now trying to protect. I don't think I have anything else for you. I think I've taken up quite a bit of your time. If you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer. I'm not sure if there's any other property owners that have any more things to say, but thank you very much.
Well, I'm going to find out.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak in opposition? Yes, sir. Step right up.
Yeah, I'm Martin.
No. I need your name and address first, and then you can start in.
I'm Martin Oakles, Sr. What is my address? 200 Marant Drive, Seaford, Delaware.
Ready.
I'm right here, I guess. I own three chicken houses back there. You know, I'm, what, 100 foot from the line now. So that's what we got there. And this, I don't know, like I said, this don't show it real good. That dairy farm is right there. These chicken houses are right here. Another chicken farm right here. Purdue Agri-Recycle Center is on the other end. So they're surrounded. And, like 36, lot 36, 35, 26. What kind of perk system goes in, or what kind of septic's going to go there? I mean,
excuse me, sir. If you're going to ask a question, ask me, and
okay,
then I'll ask them for
you.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, what kind of system is going to go there? Say on 36.
Okay.
Septic. What? I mean, you know,
lot 36. What are we doing?
Because
on
it's usually underwater.
If you look at the feasibility statement from Denerac, those particular lots actually by the stormwater management area would have mound systems.
Mound systems. It's a mound.
Yeah. And that the dirt lane that's been there for 12 years, I've been back there since 78 when I moved in there, and it was there before that. I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure it's as old as my dad, and he's up 75 or whatever. It's just an old lane. It's been there. I do have access out the back, you know, right away, but that's that. I guess that's all I got to say.
All right, sir. Well, thank you. Does anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, gentlemen. Donna Ogles, 200 Murat Drive. My main concern is where this entrance is. This is a terrible, terrible place to put an entrance. If you meet a car on that curve now, you have no place to go without waiting for traffic to get out. The other concern is, I know Mr. Neal, when they purchased the property from William Neal, that has been a dirt lane accessible for our oldest is 27 years. We've used that lane. And that was verbal back through the years. But my very main concern is that entrance. And, you know, they're going to move in, and are they going to try to change our lifestyle? Thank you for your time.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition?
Mr. Wheatley, if I could say one thing just to answer the question that's been raised. One of the things that's in Sussex County's subdivision ordinance and was in the restrictions and is referenced in a memo that was given as part of the TAC review on this application is that if it's approved, it's required to have the agricultural use protection notice in the deeds and in the restrictive covenants for the properties. That puts anybody, if it's approved, and there's lots built, and I'm certainly not saying that that's the case, and that's up to the commission, but if it were to be approved, even as a two-lot subdivision, there would have to be that agricultural use protection notice in there that puts anybody that comes onto the property or owns a lot or owns the property, that there's agricultural uses that are adjacent or nearby, and that they would be subjecting themselves and acknowledging the existence of nighttime farming operations, lights, noise, odors, you name it. And it's specifically spelled out in the county's ordinance, and it's also in the restrictive covenants that they've submitted. You know, and I just wanted to make that explanation clear so that at least it's in there. And the purpose for that is so that somebody couldn't, if the lots are approved, come back and say, well, I didn't know there was a chicken house here, you know, and if it's blowing, you know, or whatever, you know, they're going to have a hard time trying to make such a claim because whether they really knew about it or not, it's their own record of should have had notice about it because it's in their deed restrictions or in their deed. So I just wanted to get that point across.
All right, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir. Step right up.
James Osborne, 23695 Dove Road, Seaford. One of the concerns, I think most of the owners out there with the chicken houses and other cows and as such for the dairy farm, is probably vandalism in both directions. They have no sort of security in the back end of these chicken houses, which are approximately, I'd say, 300 foot. So there is no way to watch the back of these chicken houses 24/7 from any sort of, now you have entry, easy access within a development to a farm that used to be in the middle of a field. And you also have a lot of workers that are going to be out there from various different backgrounds that are doing work in the middle of the night that or also that may be a concern for the residents within a new development. That is that going to be a possibility for vandalism on their half? That may be a concern. And there is no security measures, and I don't believe any one of these individuals that's been living there for 20 plus years are willing to fence in their entire property to meet any sort of security. And that may be a concern for, like I said, both sides. Just making that a statement.
All right, sir, thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir. Come right up.
Donald Morgan. I live at 2721 Murrock Drive, or 2721-3 Murrock Drive, Seaford, Delaware. I own the property south end of this development that is proposed. I think at one time there was a road, before I bought the property, there was a road that went to my property over to the old house, about where the development's going now. And I believe that was like the drain where it comes from my house, the water runoff. And I think, I'm not saying, but if they change the layout of the land, will it change the runoff of my water? I mean, if we had a lot of water, excuse me.
Well, I can answer that for you, sir. And the law would require them to contain their water on their land. They're not allowed to run water. They can't shed water onto your property.
No.
So,
but if they changed the layout of the land, would it change the way the water may drain if they were so much water?
It could change if your water is draining on them right now. That certainly could change, right. And there wouldn't be much you could do about that, but they cannot run their water on you.
Right, right.
So
that's what I say. I think the water.
I don't know what the effect might be, but
yeah.
I don't imagine they do either right now.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition?
How many?
Yes, sir. We'll count them in a minute.
Oop, I'm good.
That one got another speaker here.
Brian Massey, 26004 James Drive. I own the property just to the east of that. I got a chicken house going right to the old chicken houses. They were saying they would clear out. There's a fallen down chicken house. Right now that's covered with trees and it's kind of a barrier to my tunnel fans. If they clean all that up, then they've got tunnel fans shooting straight across into, they would blow across in them first few lots there. So, and I would rather look at falling down chicken house than houses anytime. So. All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? Yes, sir, Mr. Robertson.
I have one. Why, there were two potential entrances to this project, and at some point you stated that there were what was remaining lands on the, I'll call it the left side, the west side of the thing, they were sold off as two lots. We've heard testimony about the concerns about the other entrance onto the county road. Why was there the limitation on this project that's where the entrance had to go versus 13A? What's the history of that?
Typically on most projects that we work on, there is a dual frontage. There's a situation where we have to access the property. DelDOT typically in comments when we submit an actual geometric entrance design, forces us basically, or wants us to put the entrance on the lesser travel of the two roads. Knowing that we had a situation on this particular project because of the curve on that road, and I've been out there too, I asked John Fiore in Dover when he came down, and Jemez Norwood, the South District Permit Supervisor, to meet me out there so we could discuss it. And Jemez is enforces the construction if it's approved and if it's built. John is the authority that would review the entrance plan. So they both basically said that the entrance would have to be on aisles, but that, as I stated, that a site distance analysis would have to be completed and submitted if we were to be submitting an entrance plan for the development. So that's something in addition to the standard geometric entrance plan we would have to submit.
All right, well, but then taking a step further, say, you know, if the DelDOT comes back, I mean, that's a limited amount of entrance. What are you going to do if DelDOT
says? Well, the entrance, as shown, is not the extent of quite possibly what the entrance would be built to. The entrance is shown minimal, for minimal standards, but we haven't done any sort of calculation yet and gone through DelDOT's design manuals.
But it looks like you only have about, 50 or 100 feet of frontage on the county road.
Yeah, without looking at the rendering there, I don't have the blueprint in front of me showing the frontage there. I think it's 70 feet or 80 feet. But as I said, the improvements, possibly a bypass lane on the north side of Ockles Road, along with a deceleration lane, allowing people who would be entering the subdivision to come off of the traveled roadway onto that deceleration lane before they access the property. Those are all possibilities. It's something that we haven't examined yet, because we were assuming that we'd be waiting until if we did have preliminary approval.
Who sold off those two lots on the west side? Was that the current applicant that did? Yeah. That's all the questions I have.
All right, sir. Thank you. Anyone else on the commission? Any questions? If not, we'll close the public hearing. We invite you to stay with us to see if you make a decision or we'll make all the office in the morning.